Should you write a book or should you not write a book? We're going to answer that question today on Coach's Corner. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner, Empowerment for Entrepreneurs. Today, we're going to be talking about writing your book. This is episode number 45. We're sponsored today by The Marketing Network, marketingnetwork.tv, profitable marketing training for business owners who want to get results fast. Visit us online at themarketingnetwork.tv. Use offer code COACH at checkout to save 25% on your membership. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Robert Imbrielli. So happy to be with you today. I gotta tell you, this is one of the topics that has come up a lot in terms of, you know, business owners come to me a lot and they'll always ask, you know, should I be writing a book? Because we've heard over the years so much about how powerful a book can be. I can tell you from personal experience, obviously I wrote a book, several books. I'm thinking back, I think I've probably written maybe three books. One was actually published by a big publisher. And I gotta tell you something, from the day I signed the contract, things in my business changed. All of a sudden, I was the recognized expert in my field, and I started to get different kinds of job opportunities or projects coming across my desk just because I had the book. So it was a life-changing experience. I highly recommend it. And even today, you know, things are changing. People are going, you know, people still read books. Yeah, they do. They still read books. Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that today. And I brought a very, very, very special guest to share her knowledge and expertise, because I got to tell you, just because I'm the author of several books, it doesn't mean I'm the expert on how to publish books. I'm not. So I brought in a bona fide expert. Tara Alemany is with me today. And I got to tell you, she's an award-winning author, speaker, business and publisher. Wait a minute. Business consultant and publisher. Sorry. And also, here's the part that really impressed me. She's a serial entrepreneur. Can we get on board with that, right? We're all a little bit like that in this group anyway. We love to do more than one business over the course of our careers. I think I'm in my fourth different business now in my career. So I guess I qualify as a serial entrepreneur as well. Tara is running a company now called Emerald Lake Books. So she is a publisher. And who better to learn from than somebody who's actually publishing? She's an award-winning author. And I want to hear more about those awards and what she's done in her past. So without further ado, let's bring on Tara. Tara, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think so too.
So let's get started with this idea that people, you know, tend to ask. And I get this question, I'm going to say 3 to 5 times a year from the people that I coach and work with. And they are always asking the question, is it still time to write a book? Is it still a good time? Because, you know, the framework out there or the society or the economy of books really has changed a lot over the years. Do you think it's still a value? Well, I'm asking a publisher, so I know the answer is going to be yes. But yes, and then why would be the question.
Yes, it's definitely still worthwhile to do. The thing is it's becoming easier to do all the time. You know, in the past, there were so many hurdles to being able to do it. When you were doing it, you had to write your manuscript or write a proposal. You had to get a literary agent to help you get a publisher. Now there's so many different avenues that allow the author, the entrepreneur, as we call them, to be in charge of, you know, what they're doing and how they move forward using expert help to get what they want. So there's all of that in terms of it being easier to do, but also so many people are reading in order to, you know, build their business, in order to figure out how to get from here to there. They're looking for mentorship. They're looking for experts to guide them. There's so much knowledge and information that people are looking for that books become a very easy way of conveying what you know, so that you can kind of build your tribe and attract your tribe of people who like the way you think, who want to do business the way you do business or want to learn from you and how to do that. So there's all of those different aspects. But then there's things like the opportunities they present. You know, you talked about, you know, you're the expert suddenly because you wrote a book. Well, you know, how many people can say, I'm the expert in marketing or I'm the expert in A, B, or C because I wrote the book on it? It opens up so many doors for speaking engagements. If an event planner is looking at one person versus another and they're talking on the same topic, the one who is an author is definitely going to be the one that they choose because they have that extra level of panache that says, okay, you know, somebody believed in them enough to be able to publish their book, even if they published it themselves.
That's the other question that comes up. You know, we're going to get into that a little bit. Should you publish yourself or should you go with a publisher? Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to that point of, you know, when you're applying to be a speaker at an event or something, you're the guy who wrote the book. You're the expert, right? Mm-hmm. When somebody thinks motivational marketing, they think, well, Rob must be the expert. He wrote the book on it, right? That sure. old saying really is true. It holds a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's so from that perspective, absolutely I like to call a book a better business card. You know,
A lot of people will refer to it as a glorified business card.
It really
They'll see it as an investment in their business rather than an expense. And that's the important thing. If you're going to use a book to build your business, it's an investment. It's not an expense.
Right. And it brings up your level of expertise, too, in the minds of the people who may want to hire you or may want to work with you, even if they're just a potential client and it's just a project. Hey, you're building a website. You're doing, you know, whatever it is you're doing for them. You know, it certainly raises your stature in their minds, whether or not they read the book. I think most people don't actually read the book, you know, especially clients and stuff you give it to. They may skim it. They may go, yeah, okay, guy knows what he's talking about. Good. Let's hire him, you know. But that's enough. You don't need more than that.
Well, one of the things that I tell people too, especially entrepreneurs who are thinking about it and say they also have the goal of being a speaker too, one of the things about writing a book is it really helps you get clear on what it is that you have to share and what is your unique value proposition and what makes you different from the other experts that are out there on the same subject.
So true.
Because you have to sit down to be able to clarify and communicate your message. And so it forces you to really think about what is it that you want to be sharing?
So true. And I found that the first time I wrote the big book, I like to call it, back in 2006, it really was, I learned from listening to talk radio. And, you know, mm-hmm. some talk radio, it's like you'll listen to a talk show for an hour and they really don't go very deep into any topic. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting because, you know, if you think about a book that way, it's like you can go deeper in a book than you can in radio because radio is just, you know, words and you're not going to be able to see anything. You're just hearing it. So I learned from them and I said, you know what? Here's an opportunity to spend, you know, an entire book on a single topic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it was just a matter of this is going to be a lot of fun because I've never been able to really explore this one idea, this one topic, motivational marketing. How do you explore it? How do you go deeper? How do you, peel back the layers of the onion, if you will? And it really was a great opportunity. So you're right. It does really help you get clear on your topic and you know, what makes you unique? What makes you stand out in the marketplace?
Mm-hmm. We actually, it's kind of interesting. You talk about being able to dive deep into one project. A book that we're publishing later this year is on the future of what's called omnichannel marketing, which is all the different places and ways that people can connect with a product. And so, you know, how do you account for the different ways that consumers are going to experience your product and where they may purchase it from? And the innovation in marketing and retail at this point is pretty exciting. I don't know if you saw how Amazon just recently opened up a store where you don't have to check out at all.
That is wild. Yeah, I saw that. That's amazing.
And so he's theorizing what the future of retail is going to be, and it's really neat.
Yeah, it's not only retail, it's really shifting to the online world too. And you look at all the different mm-hmm. channels there, especially, you know, for us, I guess we focus more on social media than anything. And there's multiple channels within that. And people get, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming. But you got to find some way to be present in all the different channels today. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. What the big question I have, and I know this one comes up a lot, it's like, I've got the book idea. It's in my head. I'm thinking about it. I really know I need to write a book, but I have no idea where to begin. No idea where to start. How do I put, what do I even put on paper? I've got a blank piece of paper in front of me. What ideas and what do I put on paper to get to the next step? I'm sure you can help us with this one.
There are so many different ways to get started, and you have to pick out the one that's best for you. Some people, they already know what they want to write about, and it's just kind of honing in on the idea. But some people have, you know, 10 different ideas, and they don't know which one will benefit the most. So one of the things that we talk to them about doing is, you know, write down what those different ideas are and survey your potential customers or your potential readers and ask them, you know, what's most beneficial to them right now. If I could teach you more about A, B, or C, what would you want to hear more about? Because then it helps you narrow down your choices. But once you've identified what it is that you want to write about, we like to help you put together, you know, we suggest that you put together a framework, which is an outline with some key points that would go into each chapter. And then after that, start filling in each one of those points further. We'll actually talk with our authors about actually speaking their book, because once they have that outline and they can take a section, they can either dictate it or they can record it and send it out for transcription. And that gives them a great starting point that then an editor can work with or a ghostwriter can work with if they don't want to finish it themselves. Or they can use that as the place where now they go back and start filling in additional details and put the stories in that prove the points. So either way is a great way to get started. The main thing is make sure you schedule time to do it. A lot of people, they think they want to write a book. They know that it's going to be good for their business. But with all of the different activities that they have in their daily schedule, the one thing they don't schedule in is time to write. And as a result, the day gets filled and they never get any writing done and the book never happens.
That is so true. I looked at that when I was signed the contract with John Wiley to do motivational marketing. And it was exactly that. It was like, okay, now I've got this contract signed. I gave them a proposal. I gave them literally a table of contents is really all they wanted from me. And that really ended up being the framework for how I wrote the book. And I decided that, okay, it's 16 chapters. They gave me 16 weeks. I said, okay, a chapter a week. Mm-hmm. And really, I had to schedule that time. So for me, it was every Saturday. There was nobody bothering me on Saturday. There was no phone calls. I wasn't doing any client work. So Saturday, I would get up and I would not look at the clock. So if I started to write at 9 a.m., that would be fantastic. Some Saturdays, it didn't happen until 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Right. But it didn't matter. Yep. Saturday was the day for writing. And I waited till I get that inspiration or got up into that mode where I could feel like, okay, I'm in the zone now. Now I know what I want to say. And then I work on that chapter. And every Monday morning, send it to the editor, send that chapter out. And it was really good to have that accountability because if it was just, I'll call you in 16 weeks, guess what would have happened?
Week 15, you would have been sitting down figuring out your outline.
Exactly. Week 15, I would have like, geez, I've got 60,000 words to type. These fingers are going to fall off. So it was much better to have someone have the accountability along the way and say, okay, you need to, every Monday. And I made that up. She didn't really care one way or another. She just wanted the book on the date. And I said, okay, every Monday, I'm going to send you a new chapter. And I never missed. And that framework worked for me. I'm not normally that scheduled and not normally that systematic about stuff, but that worked for me. Mm-hmm.
It works for a lot of people. I find the other thing that happens is sometimes people will wait till they feel inspired. And what I suggest is, don't wait for inspiration. Sit down, set a timer. For me, I like using the Brain FM app, which just plays this really nonsensical background music, but it's almost white noise without being irritating white noise. But the thing is it keeps me from getting distracted and thinking about other things. So I set the timer and I'm not allowed to do anything else until I've gotten the timer goes off or I've gotten that part done. And it's huge because what it does then is it's an external thing that tells you when you're done, as opposed to you trying to figure out. That's for us, one of the things that authors ask us all the time is they say, I don't know when the book is finished. And so we'll go through this exercise with them, actually, that a friend of ours told us about that's called a Dear Reader exercise. And before they get too far into the book, we have them actually write a letter to the reader. And it's a very personal letter. It's a one-on-one talking, the reader, you and I, the author, and what is it that you want the reader to get out of it? What is it that you promise that if they invest their time in reading it and learning from you, they'll get out of it when they're done? And it becomes this very psychologically emotional process, but they become very connected suddenly to what their message is and why they need to write this book. And so motivation actually begins to not be something they're looking for from the outside, because this letter gets them focused on, I've got to give them this, they need this. And so they sit down and they just start writing them.
We like to call that in marketing, the reason why marketing, right? So you have to have that reason why, what is the motivation behind it? And this is just brilliant. You've just given a gem to our listeners today. You're just like an amazing piece. I couldn't agree with you more. If you really understand the why behind the book writes itself. From my experience anyway, it's just a lot easier that way. Yeah. So we got the outline. We've got the framework. We said we've set time. We've blocked out all the outside distractions, and that was big for me too. I used to have music on, and it's like, no, you can't bother me on Saturdays. I don't exist for the next 16 Saturdays. Don't ask. I'm not here. And it really did work. And I had to wait till I was inspired. I just couldn't force myself to write. I know some people can do that. It was harder for me. Mm-hmm. So I had to wait during, you know, I knew it was going to happen during that day. You know, that was the time I had blocked out for it. But like I said, sometimes at 9 o'clock in the morning, it just wasn't there. I just wasn't up for it. I couldn't get myself up for it. And then it took a little bit of time to get into that space. But finally, when I got in that space, because I knew that the reader's going to pick up on the energy that I have when I'm writing that book.
Sure.
They will pick up on it.
Do you know a trick, though, to get beyond that so that you don't have to wait for inspiration?
Another gem, people. Listen up. Get those notebooks ready. Okay, I'm listening.
We are wired in such a way that if you ask yourself a question, you have to answer it. And so when I sit down to write, I'll ask myself the question of, what do I need to be saying right here? You know, especially if I've already got a start, I'll read where I had left off and just ask myself, what comes next? What needs to be said next? And suddenly it comes. Wow. But if I were, you know, just wandering around, or sometimes inspiration comes in the shower or while I'm driving or something like that, and that's a totally different thing. But when I'm in that routine of, this is my time to write, I need to get this done now, the way to get started is to ask yourself a question. And even if that material doesn't get used later on, it gets you writing. And once you're writing, it's easier to redirect and get to where you need to be in terms of what you should be writing at that point.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I'm going to try that. I get a lot of writing projects on my desk that sometimes aren't books, but sales letters and websites and such. And it's like, yeah, you know, okay, that could work. Just ask some more questions about it. I like that a lot. Okay. So maybe we talk a little bit about setting aside that time and really what it takes, because I know you got kids, you got dogs, you got, you know, family obligations, friends dropping in, you've got all kinds of stuff. How do you deal with those interruptions when they show up?
You know, I routinely will block time in my calendar that everybody else knows if my time is blocked here, I need to be doing something during this time. And they have my full attention when I'm with them, and they know that. And it's just kind of a system we've gotten into, so that, you know, they're old enough to know that if the door's closed and I've said this time is blocked, that they will get, the timer goes off and I go out and open the door and go out, they'll have my full attention. So unless the house is burning down or, you know, something else is going on, they're not going to bother me.
So it's really about setting house rules.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I like that a lot.
The dog doesn't always listen, but everybody else does.
Yeah. The dog can go outside. Go find something else to do for a little while.
Unfortunately, it's below freezing right now, so that's a little hard.
Oh, but that's true. I'm here and I'm hot. I'm thinking maybe I should turn the air conditioner on. Okay, so, you know.
Yeah, not here.
A little different experience.
I'm in a couple of layers here.
Working with an editor. Good idea, bad idea? Working with one before, during, after? What do you think?
I highly recommend that you have at least one editor, if not multiple. Typically, what we have may end up having as many as three different editors on a book project by the time we're done. Mostly because editing is one of those things, just like writing, you go through it, you edit it, you still miss things. We actually won't publish a book until both the author and our editor has looked at a printed version of it. And this is after it's been edited multiple times at that point.
Wow.
But the thing is when you see the print book, you'll always find something that you didn't see when you were looking at it on the computer. And I'd much rather that we find that than that our reader finds that. So editing is something, every editor is kind of gifted in different ways, and they have different things that they pick up on. Some it's about the voice, some of it is about clarity, some of it is about grammar and punctuation. So we'll actually work with a couple of different editors just to make sure that the piece is as polished as it can be. And there's different kinds of editing anyway. I mean, depending on how skilled the writer is, the work may need a development edit, which is one of the most deepest edits because it looks not just at grammar and punctuation and clarity within the context, but also does the book as a whole accomplish what the intended purpose of it was. So it may, you know, highlight areas where more explanation is needed, or maybe if you inserted a story here, it would help a bit more. Some writers, though, or their experience. They've done this often enough that all they really need is a line edit. We check for grammar and punctuation, and that's about it. So definitely work with an editor, because even myself, as an editor and an author, I still use editors just because it's important. When you've worked on something for so long, you almost become blind to it in that you know what it's supposed to say, so it all sounds good. And somebody else reads it for the first time, and they're not as experienced at it, and they look at it, and, well, that doesn't make any sense. What are you trying to say here?
So I'm understanding editor differently, because you're saying there's multiple kinds of editors, right? So sure. The editor that I worked with when I worked at Wiley, worked on that book for Wiley, was she really went through every single chapter, mm-hmm. and then she would come back with questions about the chapter. Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't understand this, or maybe this was too simply explained, because to me, marketing's kind of second nature. I've been doing it for so many years. And she said, well, can you flush this out a little bit? This concept's really good, but I need a little bit more. Can you add an example? Can you add whatever? But she didn't touch any of the text at all.
So she probably was what's called a development editor,
where she's
looking at it to really help frame the book itself and make sure that the book itself is complete. But along the way, what you also want is you want something called a line editor or content editor. They both have slightly different roles, but a line editor is actually going to check grammar and punctuation and just make sure that that's all accurate. Content editor will check grammar and punctuation, but that also, does what you're saying make sense? In the context that it's currently in,
right.
Not in the scope of the overall book. Your editor at Wiley was looking at how does it fit in the scope of the overall book and how can we strengthen it, because they wanted it to be the best product it could be. So different kinds of editors, different
ways.
Yeah,
and I think there were different phases too, because I was working with her directly, and when I turned in the final manuscript, the big Word document with everything, they actually sent it out to another organization where they had I guess the line editors go through it.
Sure.
And that was a little bit of a devastating process for me, because they basically removed me from the book.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere where there was personality, anywhere they were showing, you know, opinion or anything like that, the book just became at the end of it plain vanilla. Still a good book, but very different than when it went to them. So,
and that's the challenge with working with a traditional publisher, where they're taking it and they're fitting it into their model. And,
yes,
and so as
exactly
a result,
right.
They do end up taking a lot of personality out.
Yeah.
When you work with a hybrid publisher or an indie publisher, it's more of a partnership. Oftentimes you're paying for services rendered with the intent that they're providing their expertise, but you're still very much a part of the creative process. So our authors actually, we'll tell them sometimes, because we get to know them so well, we'll sometimes say you need to put a little bit more of yourself in the book. Because what we get sometimes doesn't reflect enough of their personality. And the thing is if these folks are using it to attract clients and people who want to work with them, or they're trying to become speakers.
I need an editor like you. I need you. I want to be in my books.
Yeah, you know, you invest that amount of time. You do. In our opinion, when somebody picks up your book, especially if it's your mom, they should be able to recognize your voice in it. If they can't, then to me, it's not a great book. No matter what's been done to it.
Yeah, sometimes it's over-edited.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the editor kind of takes a little bit of creative control. And there's always that line, too. The editor can go a little bit too far and take your voice out of it.
Yep.
Wow. Good. Let's talk about your company, because you mentioned the word hybrid publisher.
Sure.
And a lot of people are thinking self-publishing or Wiley. There isn't much in between, but you seem to be right in the middle of that somehow. Talk to us a little bit about that.
There are so many different terms out there for similar things these days. There's indie publishers, there's hybrid publishers, there's small presses. Each one is just, the way I talk about things these days is there is publishing, and we should get rid of all these other terms, because the other terms only reflect a different business model. It's a different way of getting a book done. So a hybrid publisher, which is what we are, is a publisher where you do actually pay for services rendered. So there's a fee up front. But then what you're doing is you're getting our expertise, you're getting our guidance, you're getting all of our feedback. And in our instance, you're getting my business coaching as well, because I've been in business for myself since I was 19. So I've got over 30 years of experience in business now. And, what you're getting then is something that we refer to as a business building book. When the book is published, we help you through that whole process. We publish it for you so that you have the legitimacy of it coming out under a publishing name, which is something that's important because a lot of folks, if they publish it themselves and they're only going to do one book and never another one, it's hard to get a bookstore to pick it up and different things like that because there's not a lot of validity or veracity to it. And nobody wants to take a risk on an unknown publisher, unknown author, and unknown book.
Right.
But when you're coming out under a publishing label that has multiple authors, multiple titles, then booksellers start to get a feel for what's the quality of what comes out of this publishing house. And so they're more likely to take a chance on a first-time author that way. So when you work with us, we go through that whole process with you, but we also add in something different than other indie publishers, which is we help you position this in a way that it is going to build your business. Because we go through these exercises with you to establish three different goals that you have. One is your goal for the reader when they read the book. The other is the goal for your business or your brand. And the last one is your goal for the impact the book is going to have. And so when we define those goals with you early on, everything we do about design, about positioning, about marketing and publishing the book is about how do we accomplish those three goals. So we work with you to accomplish those, and we've had some really interesting stories and fun experiences as a result, because people have different things that they want to do, and sometimes they make a lot of sense, and sometimes it's like, well, that's interesting, but okay, you know, and, you know, we go with it. And then we do a royalty share on the back end when we, you know, sell books through distribution channels we set up. But it's a 50-50 royalty, whereas when you're dealing with a lot of traditional publishers, they're keeping 90% and you're getting 10% if you're lucky.
90? Man, you know, if could I be so lucky to get 10%? I wasn't getting 10%. It's a lot less than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the first time I've heard that one.
Yeah, it wasn't that big. It was just sort of like, so why did I do this book again? You know?
Because you wanted to be known as an expert.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, the other part that comes out of that, too, is one of the goals of a book is not to make money off the book. A lot of people think, well, I'm going to make a book. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to sell a million copies. Yeah, good luck with that. Right.
Right. For us, actually, we tell our authors when we're going through everything, we make sure that they're entering it with the idea in mind that book sales are not the objective. Book exposure is the objective. We use the book to build a mailing list. We use the book to secure speaking engagements. We use it to start a sales funnel, a marketing funnel, whichever. There's so many people who are into click funnels and lead pages and all these different things and nurture sequences that they're setting up. They don't realize that a book is a very good starting point for all of those.
It's a finale. I've seen it a lot of times when people say, well, just pay $4.95 shipping and handling and we'll send you the book for free. And it's like 1,000 people will do it.
Sure.
Quick way to move 1,000 books, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Now, the thing is they don't typically count towards New York Times bestseller status.
No, not at all. Yeah.
But, you know, how many email addresses are you getting in your marketing funnel?
Yeah, exactly. And then what can you sell them later on?
What's your email list worth, you know?
Mm-hmm. How true. What other outcomes do people have with books? Because I know a lot of people are looking, like, you know, they'll write a book and they'll say, I want to get more consulting clients, more speaking engagements. We know that. What else? What other kind of outcomes could they have for a book?
JV partnerships are a great one. I know one person who every book he writes, he will only write a co-authored book. And the main reason he does co-authored books is because he wants to expose the friends that he co-authors with to his following, but he wants the exposure to their following as well. So if you co-author a book with somebody, suddenly you have both lists, shared with one another very easily, and it brings in marketing funnels that way. The other thing that we work with our authors on is we really don't focus on bestseller status because to me, bestseller status is gaming the system. I can, you know, you can become an Amazon bestseller in an hour. I mean, it's all about understanding the algorithm and how to play the game. We focus on helping our authors become award-winning authors.
How did you know I did that in 1 hour? How did you know?
Because I know how Amazon works. So you know, but when you focus on becoming an award-winning author, especially the awards we focus on are juried competitions. So they are judged by industry professionals, bookstore owners, retailers, librarians. And so when they are saying, all right, this book is worthy of an award, there's a lot of clout that comes with that. And so when we focus on helping our authors become award-winning authors, to me, there's just so much more just authority that comes behind that, then
reading that in your bio was exactly that. It was like, you're just not an author, you're a multi award winning author. And it's like, yeah, it does raise the stature like way over and above, which is one of the reasons I was so excited about having you on here today was for that. It's like, not just a regular author, but a multi award winning author really raises the stature.
And actually, you know, if you want to go, I'm also an Amazon bestselling author, but so is everybody.
So is everybody.
So it's like, you know, it's almost not worth mentioning.
How true.
Unless you can say you're New York Times, USA Today, Wall Street Journal bestselling author, that's a different thing.
Right.
But that's a whole different, it's very difficult to do that.
I think the number I heard was 20,000 books in a week or something. It's a big number.
Well, not only is it a big number, to be able to put the marketing in place to be able to accomplish that, you have to have a huge mailing list or a lot of money. I know somebody that used to help folks become a Wall Street Journal or New York Times bestselling author, and he would charge $100,000 for the campaign. And that's because of all of the marketing and the advertising, and you know, he needed that kind of budget to be able to create that kind of campaign.
Oh, it wasn't his fee. It was a $100,000 budget to be able to buy the advertising. Okay. Yeah.
Right. And so the way that all happened, though, is when it comes to those lists, it's not about how many sales take place in a given period of time at one outlet, at one point of sale. It's about how many sales take place across multiple points of sales.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because you need to make sure that those sales are taking place in different locations, not all the same. If they're all the same, they're weighted, it seems. So that they don't count as much if they come all from the same retail.
Well, yeah, they're weighted because you could be doing a seminar in that town and say, hey, I'll go to the bookstore next door and, you know, they can buy 20 copies or 50 copies of the book and you get a spike in sales in that one space. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've seen it. For me, it was I was on two radio shows at the same time. I was both in Houston and Dallas, Texas, on a radio program, and the book was had been out for a little while, and it was at like 350,000 on Amazon sales rank. And after the interview, I think I was on the radio for like 15 minutes. The book went up to number 87 overall, but number one in the business categories. Mm-hmm. And literally within an hour, boom, it just went shot right up. You know? So it wasn't really that hard. It was a 15-minute effort really to get that to happen.
It's funny because there's a gentleman named Alex Carroll that I met in October, and he has radiopublicity.com, and all he does is help authors get on radio shows.
Right.
He teaches them how to do that. But one of the things he'll tell you is one of the reasons why radio shows are so important is because you have a captive audience. Most of them are commuting, which means that they're most likely going to a job, so they have cash. And so talking to that audience means that you have somebody who can afford to buy a book, who's listening because they have nothing better to do, which means you have the opportunity to capture their attention and get them to do something. So he says it's a great, great way to
Alex is brilliant with that stuff, no question.
Yeah.
Okay, what I want to turn to now is, people who are watching this and listening to this podcast would say, okay, Tara, what do we do next? And how do we get started? How do they contact you? Should they contact you? Should they come up with their idea first? What is the chronological order of those things?
Well, when it comes to working with us, one of the things that we've really worked towards is making sure that we can meet you where you're at. So if you've just got an idea and you're trying to figure out, is it a viable idea? Is it something that's going to have a market to it? We can help you do some of the research to figure that out. If you need author coaching, so you need accountability and guidance like your editor gave you, we have that. If you need a ghostwriter because you know what you want to write, but you don't have the time to do it yourself, we've got somebody we can pair you up with. So no matter where you're at in the journey, if you're thinking that a book may be something that will help you build your business or change the world in the way that you're looking to change it, definitely get in touch with us. You can reach me at Tara, T-A-R-A, at emeraldlakebooks.com, and I'd be happy to hear.
I've got your emeraldlakebooks.com up on the screen right now for anyone who's interested in going take a look there. Is there a form on there that they can go and fill out or request information? Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Last week, I talked a lot about Facebook and Facebook business pages not being the thing anymore to do. And you may have listened because you've got a Facebook group. I want you to talk to our audience about the Facebook group you're putting together.
Sure. We launched a Facebook group a little while ago, and I'm really focusing on trying to build it up now, especially in light of the news about Facebook pages. So it is facebook.com/buildyourbookbusiness. And what it is for people who are really looking to build a business with their book, and that doesn't matter whether the business is being an author business or using the book to build a coaching business, a training business, a speaking business, whatever that might be. So you're welcome to join us there, ask questions, join in the conversations, and we'd like to have you.
And I would very much invite people to go over and have a look at that. So build your facebook.com/buildyourbookbusiness, correct?
Yes.
And there's a group, and you'd have to apply to join, or just click join and you can join right in?
You do have to click apply to, you click join, I get a notification and then I have to prove.
Okay. Yep. Wonderful. And what are you doing in the group that's going to be exciting for would-be aspiring authors? Because I know there are a lot of those watching.
Well, the interesting thing is we have some authors in there that have just released their first book, and we've got authors who have 30 books behind them. So there's a lot of experience in there. So as questions are being answered, you have viewpoints being provided by all spectrum in terms of the experience levels. And really right now, it's just a matter of trying to figure out, help people identify how they can use their books to better grow their business.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Tara. I really appreciate having you here today. This was exactly what I was hoping to hear.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll answer a lot of questions from our viewers who had those questions. And if they want to reach you, emeraldlakebooks.com, and there's a way to get you there. And you're obviously on Facebook. So a great way to join the group and be part of the action. And if you've got questions about books, why not just post them there? You never know who's going to respond and what kind of great answers you're going to get, because I think that's a fabulous thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. I am going to just take a moment to thank our sponsor, and then we will wrap up for the day. Today's show is sponsored by The Marketing Network, themarketingnetwork.tv. For aspiring business owners who want to keep their skills sharp when it comes to marketing, we have some great experts on here. It's all video-based, so there's nothing to read, nothing hard there. Industry experts like Mitch Axelrod, Terry Levine, Silvika Roska, Lisa Rothstein, Laura Rubenstein, who is a social media maven, really, really brilliant in that area. Adam Urbanski, a lot of people know Adam. Adam's a really smart marketer as well. They've all come into the studio and done little mini classes, I call them, and you can watch their classes on any device you want. We're available on, you want to watch on your desktop computer, you can do that. You want to watch on your television, Apple TV, Roku, Xbox 360, any of those devices, we have apps on there and you can watch it on your television. Or if you just have your smartphone available, you want to watch on your smartphone, you can do that too. So what I suggest you do is go over to themarketingnetwork.tv. Have a look around, look at some of the courses that are there. If you like what you see and you say, hey, I want to be part of it, you can join. Just use offer code COACH at checkout and you'll save 25% on your subscription. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure you like us and share this with your friends and followers. We really appreciate it. And if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, go ahead and do so. We're available on iTunes, both as a video and an audio podcast. Your pick, you choose. Take care. We'll see you again next week.